On Hear Us Out, we've had the pleasure of speaking with many professionals and experts about the creation, manipulation, and amplification of sound and the sensory stimulation of hearing. Today, we explore visual sensory stimulation and storytelling with light with photographer Rodrigo Simas, who's Dave Matthews Band's touring photographer. Rodrigo, welcome to Hear Us Out.
Hello, how are you? Thanks for having me.
We're great. Thank you for being a part of this. I'm really looking forward to this conversation as a hobbyist photographer and fan of the band.
Very cool.
Why don't you tell us about some of the projects that you're working on? And I see that you do a lot of workshops. And why don't you talk to us about that?
Yeah, so right now I'm getting ready for Mexico, for Dave Matthews and Tim Reynolds in Mexico next week. So I'm putting together everything that I need, equipment. I just bought a new filter for the lens, like actually two new filters, like FX filters for the lens, and putting all the stuff together for next week travel. And I'll fly on the 21st, stay there for a week because we have sound check. We have stuff before the actual concerts. So we have stuff happening there, little rehearsals and stuff like that. And then there's three nights of Dave and Tim, but there's the first night's without Dave and Tim. There's like a pre-show on the Thursday for people who arrive there. So for people who don't know, it's 4 days there, and so the first day is not Dave and Tim, but the main shows, the Dave and Tim shows, are the three last nights. So yeah, that thing, and also I'm starting to book my touring year, like to know my schedule at least till June, July. So I have DMB stuff, and I have stuff in Brazil. I'm from Brazil. I live in Portugal, in Lisbon, but I'm Brazilian. So I have bands that I work with in Brazil also. So I'm flying there in March, I think. So I'm staying there for almost a month there with other bands in Brazil. And I'm booking also my dates with Sepultura, which is a Brazilian band, but it's an international band. I work with a lot with metal bands. So yeah, so Sepultura is in the Farewell Tour. They're like announcing, they announced last year that it'll be like the Farewell Tours. So the last concerts of their career. And I did the whole European tour last year in November, October, November. And next year is more like a festival year for them. So they are playing like in a diverse array, like many festivals in South America and in Europe. So I might do a bunch of them. So I'm going to when I'm in Brazil, then I'm doing the three Lollapaloozas South America with them. So I'm doing the Argentina, Chile, and Brazilian one with Sepultura.
That's awesome. So
you are quite busy.
Talking about shooting in Mexico with Dave and Tim, the fact that they've played there for many years, I would assume that gives you a familiarity with the venue and with the setup. Does that affect the gear that you bring, or does going through photos you might have taken in previous years give you ideas for things you'd like to capture this year?
A little bit. My gear does not change. What it changes whenever I'm with the gear that I'm using on that year, I don't take like, oh, I'll have like these specific lenses for this specific gig. No, once I have my main gear, that's what goes with me everywhere. Right now is Canon R6 and three lenses, and that's it. I don't use any. Which lenses? I use a 24-70, a 70-200, and a 16 millimeters. So all 2.8. Well, now I just changed one of the lenses. So I used to have the 24-70, 2.8, and now I have the 28-70 because it's 2.0. It's better for like dark gigs, and so I'm using that one, and that's basically what I take everywhere. And so yeah, basically I do look at my last previous year's pictures, but more like just remind me the vibe of the place, because I'm really used to shoot Dave and Tim, and I'm really used to shooting Mexico. This will be my fourth or fifth year in a row. So like I know what to do, you know? And but right now I'm doing a lot of stuff with reflections, with the filters, but the filters are not in the lens. They are just reflecting light. So I put like, so I have my, for example, so I have my camera here and I put the filter like here or there, like this. And the filter just gets a little bit of the effect on the lens and it also reflects the lights. So it creates a lot of different like effects that you couldn't get anywhere. And I'm studying a lot of how to do that kind of stuff. I did a lot of that on the last Sepultura tour, and I never used that technique with Dave and Tim. So this will be my first year using this technique. And I do a lot of reflections with the cell phone as well, with the cell phone in the camera,
Oh,
because the cell phone
interesting.
is a mirror by itself. But there's a
Very
lot of times
cool.
that I'm with the camera like this, and the cell phone's like this, and the cell phone's reflecting the lights. So the light gets here, goes to the camera in different ways.
When you learn new techniques like this, where do you practice to get it right? I assume you're not bringing it there for the first time to the venue and trying it. So where do
Well,
you figure it out?
usually I try on the live shows working for somebody, but it's like whenever I have, so I have, I when I have what I call then the my guarantee shots, for example, whenever if I'm doing a gig and I can shoot the whole show, for example, like Dave and Tim. So in like probably the mid of the concert, I hope so, I'll have all the pictures that it's guaranteed that I have good material. So after that, I can play with whatever, you know, like, so I, if I want to test new techniques or whatever I want, that's the spot when I start. So usually the first half of the show is just making sure I have good, regular, clean, and like no playing, you know what I mean? Like really serious gig and doing. After that, if I'm sure I have the shots I need, then it's just like trying to create something different. And that's how I start to try new techniques and try other. So I'll probably on this year's Dave and Tim, I'll try this technique, but I'll try other stuff as well. And that's how you like I de develop this kind of techniques.
So, because you're familiar with when it's full band with the band, when it's Dave and Tim, that you're familiar shooting them, it would seem like you can efficiently get what you need, and then you have this time to experiment and play around and see what works and maybe capture something new. I'm thinking about how they'll play multiple nights in certain cities, like specifically the Gorge out in Washington. That will you keep an eye on what the weather might be, or is it going to be sunny one night, cloudy another night, to kind of guide you as to when you will shoot certain shots and which nights you might go for them? Or are you just kind of responding in the moment to what your eye catches?
Well, unless it's something really like extreme, like for example, if I know there will be like hard, like heavy rain, then I'll certainly program whatever I will do to stay more inside, like where there's a roof for me or something like that. But if it's not like really like radical weather, you know, like extreme weather, then I just go with the flow and see, you know. Usually, like if I have two or three concerts at the same venue, then I focus each day in a different angle. For example, just one of usually, if I'm shooting the Gorge, for example, I usually take the second day to go out the top of the hill and shoot, do a lot of shots from there, you know. So the first day, I guarantee I have the band shot, like the individual member great shots on the first day, because that's what people most want to see. And then on the second day, I guarantee the wide shots, you know, so from the top of the hill and all the full stage. And the third night's the fun night for me. It's the night that I can't play because I already have all the shots
All
that I
the other
need.
shots.
Yeah.
And is the band, are they kind of relying on you to capture and document these shows and these nights as you see fit, or are they having input as to what they would like for you to capture and how they would like the event documented?
It's pretty much up to me. Well, with Dave, I'm with Dave for 15 years now. So it's 14 years. I started shooting for them professionally in 2010. So it's 14 years this year. So they are very used to me, and they know what I do, and they are comfortable with my presence. And that's when you are working with an artist, like a photographer, I would say it's even more important for the artist to feel comfortable with you than to be like a really good photographer. There's a lot of photographers, and I'm not naming any, but sometimes I see like work that I even don't see like, oh, it could be better. But then I know that maybe it's not better because they don't want like the best photographer ever. They want the best person to be with them 24/7. You know, so they have to trust you and they have to feel comfortable with you. So sometimes that's what's happening. Maybe that's even in my case. They can look at my picture and say, hey, Rodrigo, we could get someone better than Rodrigo, but we feel comfortable with him. And no artists want to change that. It's a
huge part of it. We say it in our line of work too, that anybody can learn the technical skills, but you want to go with somebody that you trust, that you feel comfortable in their presence, that you can have an easy conversation with. So whether it's being an audiologist or a photographer, in most professions, you want to go with somebody that you are comfortable relying on.
100%. 100%. Yeah.
And with the professional musicians that we work with on the audiological end, and even with other conversations we've had on the podcast, trust is something that seems to be a theme that I can only imagine how many people are trying to get a piece of the band and, hey, we want this, we want that, we want to see you, all that kind of nonsense that they must have to deal with all the time. That if the people you can surround yourself with, you just trust, you know, they're going to do their job, they're going to show up, they're going to be responsible and respectful of the relationship that's been built, that's where success comes in. And how do you... The fact that it's 15 years on, it's probably long, long been established, but how do you build that trust in the beginning? How do you provide them with the work that they need in a way that you're comfortable with that allows this relationship to flourish?
Well, it's never like this, you know, so year after year, I gained more and more access. So it was not like, oh, the first year, hello, you are here, welcome, come into the dressing room and stay as long as you want and, you know, just do whatever you want. No, it's like, it's year after year, you get trust and more time. And then there's one time that you already have a full access to whatever you want. And so you just keep them, just keep that and don't fuck up, you know, but before that's a gradual thing. It's more like the first year I toured with Dan, I could only shot from the photographer's pit. I didn't have access to dressing room or backstage. So that was the first time. And then always like that. Oh, first you can shoot for three first songs, like press. And then you can have access to shoot the whole show from the photographer's pit. And then you can have access to shoot from the stage. And then if you don't do anything wrong on those, you can have access backstage. And you keep growing and growing. Of course, once you work with a band like Dave Matthews Band for years and years, other artists start to pay attention to your work. And it's funny because I'm in a tricky situation because Dave Matthews Band is only huge in the US, but they are not a huge band outside the US. So for example, if you go to Brazil, like some artists and some like, they don't pay attention to what DMB is. If I was like the photographer for Metallica, being from Brazil, all Brazilian bands would be like, oh my God, there's a Brazilian photographer for Metallica. But it does not apply for Dave Matthews because nobody knows how big they are in Brazil. That's just for example. But even then, people look at me and they look at my work and they know, oh, if he's 15 years with Dave, we might trust this guy. So with Sepultura, for example, it was like that. Like one of their manager knew my work because he was a Dave Matthews Band fan.
Okay.
So he followed me on social media and we start talking and blah, blah, blah. And once I started, I already started with full access. And my first day on tour with Sepultura, I arrived two hours before the first gig for a 22 dates tour. And I didn't know anybody, you know? So the first time I got to the band dressing room, I got introduced to them all. So it could go completely wrong. But they were very, like, it was the most fun I had in years, but it was a great tour. But it's completely different also than Dave. So I had to adapt to other crew or other ways of working, other schedule. Like Dave Matthews Band schedule is way more lighter than Sepultura. Like Sepultura did on this European tour, we did 22 shows in 25 days. It was only 3 days off, and those three days off were travel days. So we basically didn't
Busy.
have days off. So
Wow.
it's very different from Dave Matthews, for example. You know, so all you, so you get to adapt, you know, and so yeah. But it went great, and they already booking me for the festival dates in Brazil. So you know, they like the work, and it's good.
Awesome.
Wait, because you have so much familiarity with this band, with Dave Matthews Band, is there any pressure put on, that you put may put on yourself, or do you consider it a challenge to expand your creativity in terms of the angles that you shoot, the lighting that you use for it, to branch out and take different kinds of shots?
It's more pressure that I put on myself than any other one. Like the band does not ask for anything specific, so it's more like I want to make the best stuff that I can make every year. So, and I want to progress as a photographer. So it's more like pressure that I put on myself. Like okay, so like this year or so, I'm going to Dave and Tin. I'm sure I'll try to do better stuff than I did last year. I might not do it, but I'll try, you know? So it's basically me saying, okay. And also with the workshop that you asked, I'm teaching every 3 months, we do a workshop here in Lisbon. And I'm promoting it a lot because it's something that I'm loving to do. And I never thought I would love to teach. And I'm loving it. And so it's something that I'm really putting some effort and in promotion. So I want to show also all the work that I'm doing so I can get more people to go. So it's good because it's an objective that I have now is to do more content and more work and show more of my stuff. So even I'm organizing more of my work nowadays because I want to show people what I'm doing so I can get more students
Within
for the
the workshop.
workshop. Yeah.
Makes sense.
So yeah, you know, so yeah.
So beyond just shooting with Dave Matthews Band, you've also shot the Black Crowes, Radiohead, Ben Harper, John Mayer, Iron Maiden, amongst others, at different festivals, different venues. Can you speak to the difference in working for a band versus shooting for a venue or shooting for a festival where a specific band hadn't hired you? I'm reminded of a time that a couple of years ago I was at a Dave Matthews Band show and we happened to be given front row tickets to that show. I'm with my daughter, and there were two other families that same thing. They gave tickets to a parent and a child. And throughout the show, Dave is interacting with the kids. And in the very beginning, there was a local photographer that was standing next to me, and he wasn't so familiar with the band. I was chatting with him a bit, and the second song of the show was Seek Up. And I said to the guy, midway in this song, you're going to have some really good moments to capture because he didn't know the music, so he didn't know the emotion in certain songs that's going to show up.
And he got
So,
lucky because it's like usually you have only shot, you can only shoot three songs. And if Seek Up comes up in second, you have like 30 minutes of practice.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think he had two songs that night.
But anyway, but it's like 25 minutes of music and all.
But that idea of the familiarity you have with the band and the music and the lighting versus when you're shooting in a situation where you have less familiarity, can you speak to that and what it's like and how you handle that as a professional?
From those bands you listed before, many of them I didn't work for the band. I was working for a festival and or for a promoter or even for the venue. Like here in Lisbon, for example, I work for one venue here. It's called the Coliseum in Lisbon. So I do a lot of photography for them, and we are not working for the artist, for example. So I'm working for the venue, and I have the access has. Press have, so I can only shoot for the three, four songs. Usually, so it all depends. Like usually, if you're shooting for the artist, you may have like usually have at least the full concert shoot. If you're hired by the artist, you might not have the backstage access or the stage access. It depends on if you work, depends of your relations with the artist. But at least you can probably have the full show. So you can organize yourself. If the band's playing for 2 hours or an hour and a half, you can at least organize yourself. Okay, so there's like 15 songs. And then if you're working for the band, you can ask for the set list before. So you know the songs they're playing and you can organize. One thing that I always do, I always talk to the light guy. So I always go to the light technician and ask, hey, what's happening on the show? Like which song you turn on the lights on the audience? You know, is there fire on stage? Is there like lasers, like if there is lasers in which song we have laser, stuff like that. So I can make a map of what's happening during the show and I can organize myself, like if I'm not used to the band, for example. That's one thing. If I only have three songs, it's just like just go there and do the best you
Get
can.
whatever you can.
Get
You know, yeah,
everything.
then you and then I usually do the same thing that I like. For example, if I'm doing like the Gorge with Dave, that I have 3 full days, I transform those 3 days in 3 songs. So what I do is like in the first song, I do all the individual members, so I can guarantee I have at least one or two good pictures of each member. And then on the second song, I do the full stage. And then on the third song, I do my crazy stuff. It's the same, but it's reduced to like 15 minutes. But it's the same kind of, my mind works the same way if I have like three concerts or a full concert when I split the full concert in three and do band members first, full stage in the middle, and crazy stuff in the end. That's the same procedure, but the difference that I have like only 15 minutes, And but yeah, it's what I try to do always.
We've spoken with either sound designers or singers that are doing things, performing or doing the behind the scenes in live moments. And we've asked them a little bit about when something goes wrong or not according to plan. What is that for you when you're shooting and either the equipment is malfunctioning or something is not going according to plan? What do you do?
Well, I was lucky enough, I only had problems with my equipment one time. And I was working for a band called Epica, which is a symphonic metal band. They're pretty big here in Europe. They like headlining festivals here in Europe. And the singer of the band had a similar camera to what I had. So I always work with two cameras all the time because I don't change lens unless I need. So each camera has one lens, so one big one and a closer one. So I don't need to keep changing lens. Like if the artist is far away, I just pull the one that I need and do the shot. I was in a festival. It was my first gig after the pandemic, and I was in a festival with that band. And just before going to the stage, one of my cameras just shut up, and I
Oof.
couldn't even turn it on. And but the singer of the band had a similar camera, but even better than mine, and she lended it to me.
Wow.
So yeah, for her own gig, so that was great, and it was lucky. I couldn't have done the show with only one camera, but she helped me a
It's
lot. Besides that, I don't remember. In terms of image, I don't keep looking at my photos during the show. So if I start looking and I think that I don't have enough good pictures, I kind of freak out. But I try not to look at it. I kind of know if I have or not when I'm shooting, but I don't go like every couple of songs like looking of what I've done. So if not, I will freak out. But the shows that I'm not 100% confident with my work usually are the shows that I take more pictures, because when I'm not confident, I just shoot more.
You have
The
more
shows that
variety to choose from.
yes, and make sure I have more of them.
Something, yeah.
Yes.
When I'm confident, it's way less, and I can totally see that after, like in the end of the night when the when I'm thinking, oh, that show was hard, and then I put the pictures on the computer on my computer, it's like way more pictures than I usually do. And when the light when the when I feel like the night is easy, then it's just a few pictures. because I did a few and they are all great, you know.
And what do you use for reviewing your imaging or editing? What software do you use?
Lightroom.
Okay.
Yeah.
And one thing we've also talked about with artists is how they create emotional connections with their listeners, with their music, and with the live shows that they're putting on. Can you speak to the emotional connection that you can create with your images, with your photography, and how you have interacted with fans of your work?
First of all, like I'm way more like a music fan than I am a photographer. Like I just do this because I love music.
Wasn't that how
Because
you got in with Dave to begin with? Was
a little bit, I was a big fan. I created a website for them in Brazil, and the website kind of helped to kind of help promote them in South America. And then their management contacted me, and that's how the whole thing started. But I always worked, like music was always like a hobby, like a professional hobby for me. Like I was a designer, graphic designer. I graduated as a designer and worked many years as our art director and designer. But I always had like music, like was my all my side projects were music related. And I always worked with concert production in Brazil and like road managing bands, like international bands would go to Brazil, and I would be like the Brazilian road manager that gets the band and work with them around. And I always and I started photography because I would work with these bands and on these concerts and as a road manager or a production or whatever. And I always ask the band or the promoter if I could shoot, if I could do some photography, as I was already there. And most of the bands and the promoters, yes, of course, if you want to go, just go there and do it. So that's how I started like learning photography. And with Dave it was the same thing, but I would go to Dave's concert. And I had this Brazilian website, like a fan Brazilian website for the band. And I would ask for press credentials to have material for my website, for the Brazilian website. So I started doing the photography for the Brazilian website and start to showing them the pictures that I had. And they, oh, this is good. And that's how
Very
the
cool.
whole thing started. But I'm a music fan way more than photographer. Man, so the connection is very important, but the first connection is I am feeling the music. That's the first. So I have this connection with the music, and I try to translate that connection I have with the music and try, even in my Instagram, my tag there is like capturing emotion, because that's what I try to do. I try to capture emotion in an image. You know, and there are easier bands and easier music for me because I have a connection with that. But even with music, with bands and with artists that I don't have the connection, like emotional connection with the music, I even then I try to connect somehow with the music and encapsulate that emotion with my pictures. That's my main goal. Oh, it's not to do like the most technical perfect pictures that I don't. There's with For a number of reasons, but that's not what I'm trying to do. What I'm trying to do always is to represent that emotional connection between the artist and the audience in every show, you know. So that's my main goal every time.
If you can tell, I am not the photography expert out of the two of us. Eric has way much more photography knowledge than me, but I did study art, and I think that it really comes across when the artist or the photographer has a connection to whatever they're, whether it's painting or photographing. It's very evident to the viewer when there is the emotional aspect rather than just the technical aspect. It really enhances the piece, whatever it may be.
Yes, I agree. I agree. Yeah, and that's what I try. I really try. My favorite pictures of Dave and most of the bands that I do have that kind of connection. And you know that there's a lot, like my favorite shots ever are all like very emotional ones. You can see there is emotion flowing, and that's what I try to do.
And they have so much of that on stage. Like I can just picture Carter drumming and blowing bubbles and
Oh
smiling as he's playing,
yeah.
and you have Dave's emotion filling the songs. When you're shooting at a scheduled show versus a festival where the band may not be in control of everything, where maybe they don't have a sound check, or it's just different than it is compared to a typical tour stop. How is that different for you? Is your night taking on a different shape?
But whenever the band, like I shot, for example, Dave Matthews Band in Rock in Rio, Brazil, the last time they went, it's very different because, for example, in Rock in Rio, Brazil, it was 1 hour and 15 minutes set. It's way different than 3 hours. So I'm used to have like a lot of time to shoot the band. So that's one thing. The other thing is that we don't control the band, like the stage. So we just got there by the time of the concert, and just, like I couldn't go on stage before the show, because usually I do, like I really like to go on stage and see every angle that I can put myself in and see it, and don't be on the way of any technician anywhere, and, you know, like to see whatever I can do on stage. So when you are on a festival, usually you would just go on stage whenever the band goes, and then you get there, and then you have to figure out what you can do, what you can't do, you know. So that's basically and my time, like the time I have to shoot. That's basically the two different, most different things, you know. When it's not like a band concert.
Oh. Did you shoot at Ocean's Calling this year in Maryland?
I don't think so. I think that those were
September.
No, no, definitely not. No, okay. I did it for the last year. I did. Europe with the band, like with Dave, I did the whole European tour. It was April, March, April, and then I did the first half of the US tour.
Okay.
And then I went for Sepultura stuff.
Got it. Got it.
And this year probably would do the same, because I'll do Mexico now with Dave, and then I don't know if they're having dates this year, but if they do, like I'll probably try to do the first half. Because then on July and August, that's when all the metal bands tour Europe, and we have all the metal festivals here. So I prefer to do, like, if they have tour, like to do my dates on May and June, and July and August free, so I can do stuff here. That's what I prefer. Of course, there's like when they present me the dates, and then we'll figure out what it can be done or not, but that's always my plan. The plan in my head is to do the earlier for me is the best.
Got it. And in terms of shooting in concerts, for people who aren't so familiar, you're working in a low light setting where there's a lot of flashing lights and kind of changing visual environment. What sort of ISO settings and shutter settings are you working with in your live shooting?
Shutter is always like 2.8 or 2.0, like the lowest I can have. My aperture is always the lowest. Speed usually starts on 300.
Okay.
Like less than 300, you start to get movement.
Some blur,
Yeah, so I always 300 more. And ISO usually like 2000, around the 2000s. It all depends on if the stage is darker or lighter, like if there's more lights or less light. Now with this new lens, the 2870, I can use the ISO way lower than I use. So now I'm using like 1200 or 1500.
Wow.
But usually it's like around 2000, the ISO. And always 2.8 or 2.0 now. Those are my even in the workshop, I teach the students that, like, once you start a concert, unless the lights change drastically, you don't change your ISO, you don't change your aperture. You only change your speed.
When you're shooting out, like, the venue, capturing the venue and the audience, are you still shooting?
Never change anything.
Okay.
I just change the speed. Of course, there's moments you have to change, but I try not to change it unless necessary, because it's less stuff for me to think about, and it's less. Sometimes if you are changing, because with the speed, it's only my finger, you know, it's very fast. If I need to think about changing more stuff, then I will, might lose the shot that I want to. So I prefer to not have that shot with the perfect light, like with the perfect settings, but don't lose the moment.
Got it.
You know, the moment's more important than the technique,
So the
you
good
know.
enough shot, but capturing the moment is more
Yes,
important than the
way
perfect
more
shot.
important. Yes, way for me, it's way more important. So I prefer to make sure I have the moment. So I don't, the less I keep thinking about settings, the better, you know.
Just do the people around you in the audience, does that ever affect you when you're working?
With Dave, sometimes yes, because a lot of people know me. So when I'm walking, or like throughout the audience, people will be, "Hey, are you Rodrigo?" Which is great, and I try to be as nice as possible to most of people. But sometimes people are like, "Hey, are you Rodrigo?" Yeah. So hello, okay, and then they ask to take a picture of themselves and. Or with themselves, which is fine. But then sometimes people are like, "Can you take a picture of us?" And then like people, it's okay, but I'm working. You
Yeah.
know, I'm not here to take your picture. You know what I mean? So yeah. So you have to, once again, once you are in the audience and people recognize you, and I love that, and I try to be, as I said, as nice as most of. I would say 99% of people who met me can guarantee that I was like the nicest. Like I always try to be nice. But there's sometimes people see that I'm like 100% concentrated on the shot, looking with like with my camera, and people are like, "Let me finish my shot first."
Yeah.
Then you know what I mean? So that stuff is a little bit, and it happens a lot more than you think.
Is there any discussion with the band and management of almost like training for handling the public at these sorts of events? Or is it just kind of you've done it so long, you know how
Yeah,
to work
I
with the
know.
crowd?
I know how, and the other thing is like once you are there, you represent the band as well. So even if you don't want to be nice, you try to be nice because it's not you talking to the audience. It's you, but
Right.
you're representing the band. So if I say something wrong for someone in the crowd, people say, "Oh, it's not Rodrigo's is, you know, it's a douchebag." It's like Dave Matthews Band photographer is a douchebag. It's the name of the band, you know? So you always like, I'm always like very aware for who I'm working and, you know, like that I represent that
Of
artist.
course. And it
Yeah.
would seem like that goes to the trust that you were talking about
Same
before.
thing. Same thing. Imagine if like I do a run of 10 shows with the band and I like, the band loves me, and like I treat everybody backstage great, and all the artists, blah blah blah. But every day they have complaints of the audience about the photographer. Like, even if I'm really well with the artists, like they don't want that.
They don't want to deal with that.
You know, they don't want to deal with complaints about the photographer in the audience. You know what I mean? So it works the same.
So we are very big proponents of musicians wearing ear protection or in-ear monitors, but a lot of people don't think about the people outside of the band that they should also be wearing any sort of ear protection. Do you wear anything when you're working?
I wear all the time. All the time. And as I work with a lot of metal bands, that is even more important because those shows are very, very loud. So yeah, I work well if I'm not wearing the monitors itself, which I don't like. I like to listen to the sound, like the sound that the people are hearing the same. Like that's one thing for my connection with the music. The going back to your question, I like to listen the way people are listening in the audience. So I don't like to listen to like the mix that the technicians are listening, or you know, the crew is listening. So I usually am not with the monitors, but I always use, I have the, is it Zoom that plug, that the plug, there's a, it's a famous one, it's kind of expensive, it's one of that you,
Like the musician plugs that have the filters that
they have the filters. yeah
equally attenuate the
yeah
sound.
yeah yeah
Okay.
yeah yeah, yeah. I always wear one of those.
So I'm curious actually with going back to the monitors. It's specifically the And listeners may not be aware of this, the mix that the artists have on stage can be very, very different from what's coming out of the PA for the audience. And
Each one of them has a different one.
Right. So are you able, is there a channel for you to have the mix you want that's going to...
No. Well, if I want to monitor, I'll have the mix of the crew.
Okay.
So the crew has a mix, which is like a very... That's not with Dave. That's basically with every band.
Yeah.
You know, if you are having monitors, he's not doing a mix for each one of the
right,
crew.
So right.
The crew have a really like a mix that's very like...
I would think like neutral.
Neutral for everybody. You know,
yeah.
You can hear all the instruments. Like, but sometimes the singer needs more drum, for example.
Right.
Or need more bass. Or so usually the band has different mixes for mm-hmm. their monitor, but the crew is always like the same neutral one, you know. Yeah.
Interesting. And we think of different ways to kind of manipulate the monitor to get different artists what they need, because so many artists don't like them, but effectively using them is really an important thing for stage musicians.
Yeah.
Thinking of ways to manipulate it for crew is, it kind of gets my brain spinning. It's interesting.
Yeah. I really don't like, usually it takes me out of the concert.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm listening, it's not like, I don't feel the energy of the crowd in those mix, you know. And for me, it lacks a little bit of that contest where like I'm in the middle of the crowd and mm-hmm. I'm not listening to the crowd.
Next time, if you wind up getting monitors, look at ones that have different levels of filtration where you can still get ambient beyond, like you're getting your mix.
We have the ambience, but for me, it's not like with Dave, we have ambience, but it's, for me, it's not natural. Like, I don't know. I just don't feel connect, like I don't feel like I'm there with the audience watching the concert, you know what I mean?
Got
I want to feel warm, like I don't know how to explain that, you know, like
no, it makes sense
the technical way, but yeah.
Is there anything, you've had this very extensive career so far, is there anything you still hope to achieve in terms of your career, like that would be really cool to be able to do that one day?
Oh yeah, many. Well, so many bands that I want to work with, and yeah, I don't know. It's like as I said, I'm a music fan. So like, there's so many artists that I love that I haven't worked with or even photographed. And it goes from Peter Gabriel to, you know, like I love metal bands. So like, if I could tour with Iron Maiden, for example, like mm-hmm. really like do a whole tour, that would be like a dream come true. Stuff like that, you know, or I don't know, just, if Led Zeppelin reunites and do a tour, something like that, you know, like that's stuff like,
maybe they'll listen to this podcast.
Wildest dreams, you know, but that's stuff like that. But Rush, my favorite band like ever is Rush.
Okay.
Like, another band that will not reunite anymore. And I've seen Rush 10 times live, but I never photographed them, you know, so yeah. But I can think about like 200 different bands that I never shot, that I would even if it was only for three songs, I would love to shoot
and get in for that.
Yeah, you know.
So one of my final questions is that we've talked about with other guests becoming a part of people's story. And we get to do that with our patients, with their hearing journeys. We've spoken to artists with their music. They become a part of people's story. Their songs are played at weddings. They're played at big moments in people's lives. Can you speak to a time where you felt like with your images and your work, you'd be able to become part of a story?
100%. Like, I feel it every day. I'm like, with social media nowadays, it's very easy to get that feedback, right? So sometimes I do posts like, oh, these are my favorite shots from the European tour, for example. And people say, oh my God, this is like, it seems like I was at the show again, something, stuff like that. So, and some images become like classic images from the band, even the live ones or backstage ones. Mm-hmm. And people, and that remind people of that specific period of the band, you know. So some pictures from the summer tour are like, oh, people recognize those pictures, and those become the pictures from that era of the band, sometimes even more than a promo shot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Some live shots become more important than a promo shot, for example. So and a lot of people come to me and ask for, you know, like I was on that show and that was very important to me. You know, that picture is like, it's very cool that you have captured that moment and stuff like that. It happens all the time. So it's very cool.
Who owns the images? Is it you or is it the band or a venue
Depends.
when?
Depends. It's with Dave, it's a co. They own the image and I own the image.
Okay.
So they can do whatever they want and I can do basically that.
Oh,
But
that's nice.
it's more like and it depends on like any band that you work with. You it's a business, so you have to talk
Right.
and see. But yeah, it's usually if. Like, I don't know exactly in the US, but Brazil and something, some other place. Like, usually, when a band lets you shoot their concert, for example, for three songs, if we're going to shoot a concert and you have three songs, shoot. If the band gave you permission for you to shoot their concert and you didn't sign anything saying you cannot sell or you don't have, technically, those pictures are yours.
Got it.
Of course, you're not going, oh, I'm shooting Iron Maiden and then I'm putting out all the pictures to sell. But if you don't sign anything and they let you sign, the intellectual property is yours.
Got
But this is very like, there'll be a lawyer there and say, oh, it's not like that. But
it.
it's a long discussion, you know? So what I usually try, even in my workshop, what I try to tell my students and everybody who asks me is like, talk to the artist first
Right.
before doing the when you get hired for a job or a tour or something, make all those points clear, you
Ahead
know.
of time.
Don't let it to discuss it afterwards. You know, make sure you know whatever you're doing, you know. But usually it's like this. If nobody talks about it, if an artist hire you and you don't sign anything, the
Then
pictures
it's
are
yours.
yours. That's Yeah, but it can be discussed. You know, like the artist can see and like, I don't want you to post anything. And then you enter and afterwards, if the artist goes to you and say, hey, I saw that you posted my picture on your website or you're selling my picture and I don't want it. And you can say, oh, but those are mine because I didn't. But then you don't want to get in a fight, you know, so you better just take it off.
Have
So
those conversations ahead of time
Yeah.
and
Yes. Yes. Even if you are correct, that's a fight that you can't win. You know what I mean? So yeah.
Is there any other advice that you would have for an amateur photographer or somebody who's looking to get into the professional world of music photography?
First, do it because you love it. Because if you're doing it for money, it's hard. You know, yeah, it's well, unless you have artists that work like on this field of concert photography, unless you have artists that you work with and tour with, there's no money. Like if you are just covering concerts for a magazine or shooting, like you get money, but it's not enough for a living. You get money touring. That's how you earn money.
Got it.
Basically, that's how you do it. But my best advice would be do it because you like, because you love music and because you want to be part of the whole universe of that world. Because if you're doing for money, you're starting the wrong way and you will not see money fast. You have to create a name for yourself and you have to create a brand and you have to tour with big artists. Then you'll get money. So most of the photographers that start, they I see a lot of complaints of people, oh, I can't follow a career like this because there's no money. And that's true, it's hard. But at the same time, people like there's a lot of styles. There are like every 5 years or every 3 years, there's like a style of photography. There is like everybody's using the same presets and all the pictures are looking the same. And you see, like, I can see nowadays, I see so many photographers that I cannot differentiate, like, who is taking those shots because everybody just follows one exact pattern and, you know, and style, visual style. And my second advice would be, after you have experience and have, after you create a portfolio for yourself, don't copy anyone. Just try to create your own voice, you know, and because if you don't have your own voice, you just look like everybody else, you know. And even for an artist, maybe you see your work and say, hey, this artist, like this photographer, is not for me, but at least they know that you are that one that they don't like. It's better that they see your work, say, yeah, I don't like this style, but it's your style. Then see a style that could be 10 different photographers, and they don't know who is taking those pictures, you know. That's my advice.
Thank you.
Yeah,
well,
of course.
Rodrigo, it's been an absolute pleasure hearing more about your line of work, and we're big fans. And who knows, maybe you'll photograph for Led Zeppelin one day if they go out there. So you heard it here first.
That'll be a hard one. Yeah, that'll be a hard one.
So why don't you tell everybody where they can find you on social media if they want to connect with you?
So social media is Rodrigo Simas Photo. Instagram, and Rodrigo Simas Photography on Facebook. And also I have my website, rodrigosimas.fot, which, so it's in Portuguese. So it's rodrigosimas.fot.br.
And we'll link to those sites so that everybody can find that. And also for your workshops, where they can connect with you if they're interested.
Yes.
In...
So my workshops right now, they are in Lisbon at the Coliseum. So if you're in Portugal or whatever, if you live nearby in Spain or something and you want to join us, it's the next one will be in February. So it's February 14, 15, 21st and 22nd, if I'm not mistaken. And I'll probably do another one in April or something like that. It's like between two or three months we do those. But this year, like I'm having a lot of requests about doing one in English. Probably do one online just to try it, like a beta class.
Yep.
So I might do a beta class on the upcoming months. So beware, like I'll tell anyone through my social accounts, and but I'll do it this year for sure, because there's so many people requesting it.
Awesome.
And I'm doing one in English for the US audience or other speaking people, and also a Portuguese one for Brazilians, because the Brazilian fans are also requesting one. So I'm doing online one for Brazil.
Excellent. So yeah, we'll link to all of that in the episode description. And Rodrigo, I really enjoyed this conversation. Thank you for taking your time and sharing your expertise and your experiences with us and with our audience. We're grateful.
Love
Thank
it.
You.
Thank you very much. And follow the work next week, because there'll be a lot of new pictures from Dave and Team Mexico.
Yeah, and maybe if they're touring in Jersey this year, we'll catch you over at PNC.
Oh, yeah.
I'm always there. Last year was, so usually New Jersey is on the first half.
Yeah.
So I'm usually there.
Okay, so maybe we'll catch you over there. Get you hear awesome. Us out if, podcast sweatshirt.
Yeah, if they're going there, let's do it.
All right. Well, thanks awesome. So much. We really appreciated you. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
All right.